Shabbat Shalom. Israeli archaeologists made an amazing discovery recently. As they were digging under the Western Wall, a floor began to give way. Eventually, part of the floor collapsed and revealed a massive underground water reservoir. The archaeologists could hardly contain their excitement because it turns out that this reservoir dates back to the First Temple period. They know this because there are still remnants of yellow plaster that was commonly applied during those times, the First Temple period. So water from winter rains would run downhill from the Temple Mount and seep into this reservoir, filling it to capacity. Even now, after six rainless months, archaeologists went down in there and found a pool of fresh water that was still there from the winter rains. Artifacts from the First Temple are extremely rare, First Temple period. They date back as far as 3,000 years to the days of King Solomon, who built the First Temple. The best thinking now is that the reservoir was a plentiful source of water for the public to use for drinking, bathing, and ritual purposes at or near the Temple Mount. We know that before the worshipers ascended to the Temple Mount, they would immerse in water to purify themselves. As amazing as all this is to me, the really fascinating find for me was that the handprints of the laborers who added the yellow plaster are still visible. Amho was deeply moved by these discoveries. In my flight of imagination, I can see these laborers digging. For them, it was a job, daily labor. But for me, they weren't just among the countless people who lived and died over the past three millennia and lie forgotten in unvisited tombs. They are us. They are me. Living inside of us are all of the Jews who have ever lived. And they left a mark, intentionally or not, which was the fruit of their labors. They left something behind that became part of me. And it's visible. It's a physical sign of their presence. It would be as if in the year 5012, someone would discover the fruit of my labor. Not my fingerprint on a construction site, because I'm not a construction worker, but perhaps an article, a memo, or a sermon. Perhaps even these very words that I am reciting to you tonight that would draw a direct connection to me and through me to you. This is a form of immortality. It is the only immortality that is available to mortals of flesh and blood. Immortality is in the memory of others and in the fruit of our labor that we leave behind. Immortality is when someone in the future, a century from now, a millennium from now, discovers something of us. They don't even have to know our name or who we were. But they see what we produced and think about it. And when they utter an idea that we spoke, we live. Our era lives. Our lives count and mean something. And we help pave the road to the future. In this way, time, that is such an efficient destroyer, it causes decay. It covers up and obliterates what used to be. Time can also uncover and reconstruct. When we discover a handprint of a laborer under Solomon's temple, our Jewish identity is reconstructed. What do I care if I don't know the laborer's name? It's a mere detail. His memory remains. His essence is in me. The moment I look at what someone left behind, whether it is the words of Shakespeare or a laborer's handprint, I'm feeling his feelings. I am dreaming his dreams. He is living in me. Immortality is not of the flesh, but of ideas, monuments, the fruit of our work. Immortality is not in the individual, it resides in the community. And that's the key message of this week's parasha, a biblical passage that contains such central thoughts that we will read it again 2 weeks from now on Yom Kippur. Moses assembles the people on his last days on earth and proclaims, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Eloheichem. All of you are assembled here today into the fellowship of the Jews, everyone who is here today, and those who are not here today, those who will be born 3,000 years from now and have a bar mitzvah on September 15th, 2012 in a place called New York City. All of you standing before us this day, and all of them are part of the fellowship that we have established. As if to anticipate the difficulty of binding future generations, the parsha calls on the Jews to return 7 times in chapter 30 in the book of Deuteronomy. 7 times the parsha says, Shuv, return. Veshav Adonai Elohecha et shvutcha veshav. Return. And God will restore your birthright. Come back. Reclaim your heritage. You might have strayed. You might have lost connection with Judaism. You might have lost connection with the Jewish community. Do not despair. The door is always open to return. V'shavtai Adonai Elohecha. Come back. And return to the eternal your God who will receive you in love. We need to hear this message over and over again. We are living in an era of me. It is all about me. To the extent that we interact with a community, it too is mostly about what the community can do for me. What services do I receive in exchange for being part of the community? We are products of Western culture. We rightly place central importance on the individual. It was the great breakthrough of Western thought. We are endowed with certain unalienable rights that the community cannot deprive us of. And one casual glance at the rest of the world on this very day convinces us that we are right and they are wrong. Western civilization flourishes on the concept of personal rights and personal autonomy. But precisely because we have been raised on this ethos, religion comes and says, hey, don't forget that you are also part of the community. Judaism says to autonomous, autonomatized American Jews, you can't live Jewishly without the Jewish community. Return. It is the season of return. The doors are open. Come back to the community. And even a Jewish handprint on a wall underground reminds us that we are part of something larger than ourselves. We are part of the human race. We are part of American society. And we are also part of the Jewish people. A people that stretches back 3,000 years, whose founders thought of us at the founding moment. They dreamed of us. They built for us. They struggled, endured, prospered, and died for us. Don't forget that at this season. Return. Come back. And you too, think of the generations that will follow us. We have made it in this country. Yes, there is lingering anti-Semitism. There will always be some scattered people who want to kill Jews or those who are simply neutral about it. But it is there's very little left to fight about in terms of Jewish acceptance in America. It's not like the old days, even 2 generations ago, when Jews were discriminated against and marginalized and felt that we needed to bend over backwards to assimilate. I remember the story of the enterprising Jewish law student nearing graduation and aspired to a job in a prestigious white shoes law firm. The firm had a reputation for not accepting Jews. And at the jobs fair near graduation, the Jewish student signed up for an interview with this white shoes firm that had a reputation for not accepting Jews. The recruiter asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "A. James Osborne III. The recruiter nodded approvingly and made a note on his legal pad. He then asked, "What is your hometown?" The student responded, "Westport, Connecticut." Again, the recruiter nodded approvingly and made a note in his legal pad. He then asked, "What are your parents' occupation?" The student responded, "My father is a banker, and my mother is a homemaker." Again, the recruiter nodded approvingly and made a note in his legal pad. The recruiter then asked, "And what is your religion?" The student, flustered and taken aback, responded, "I am a goy." Those days are over. We won the fight of integration. We have won it politically and we have won it philosophically. America stands for the melting pot, the integration of all people who commit to the American idea, no matter who they are and where they came from. So our challenge today is not to fight that fight. We have won it. Our challenge today is to return. Don't forget your Jewish identity. And your Jewish identity is rooted in the Jewish community, in the past, in the present, and in the future. And your Jewish self is best realized through the Jewish community. And now, especially at this season, return to the fellowship of the Jews. The American idea itself encourages multiple forms of individual and communal identity. This is what makes America exceptional, not the mere repetition of American exceptionalism. The handprints on the wall on Solomon's temple bring to mind the ancient Jewish legend. Our tradition tells of King Solomon, who went in disguise to examine the progress of the construction of the temple. He met with three workers and asked each to describe what he was doing. The first said to him, "I am tanning the ram skins." The second said, "I am crushing the olives to make the oil that will light the menorah." The third said to Solomon, "I am working on the place where the people will meet God." And Solomon praised the third worker alone because he was the only one who truly understood the meaning of the work. The handprint on the wall under Solomon's temple is a lasting labor of love. They labored to make a living. They labored to fulfill the king's desire, but they also labored to construct the place where the people will meet God. That is the central significance of the handprint under the wall of Solomon's temple. And this immortal labor is our precious inheritance. Do not squander this inheritance. It is yours. Return, and God will receive you in love. Amen.